going, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 10:45. Welcome in the post as the Philadelphia 76ers pick up their 35th win of the season, defeating the Boston Celtics in TD Garden in Boston, 106-96. And once the second quarter got underway, that's when things really took off for the 76ers. A dominating performance, if you will, for the 76ers over this Boston team, led by Joel Embiid's 35 points, only 6 rebounds. But at the rate that he went in the 32 minutes and 48 seconds with 16 of 20 from the free throw line, this was a game that we talked about starting this 4-game road trip after the loss on Sunday, that they needed to pick up where they left off before with the victories and get this thing rolling with 22 games remaining. A very good victory over, listen, shorthanded, if you want, you know, with Tristan Thompson out and Evan Fournier, the newest member of the Boston Celtics, also out due to health and safety protocols. But you do have two All-Stars in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Kemba Walker, a 3-time All-Star as well. They had enough where they should have been able to handle the 76ers at least more respectfully, right, in this one. But the better team, as we have seen all season long, as they sweep the season series, comes out on top 106-96. I'm Devon Givens with you until midnight in the post, and we will certainly take your phone calls, 610-632-0975, to talk about this performance where Coach Rivers, Doc Rivers, went 10 deep with his rotation tonight off the bench with Thibault, Milton, Scott Howard, and Korkmaz. And the Tyrese Maxey and Paul Reed got in mop-up duty as the game was well in hand at that point to put this one away. But strong performances all up and down. A great defensive exhibition tonight by the 76ers where you had great individual play, fantastic team defense with help all over the floor, suffocating Boston. While they did shoot 47% and 41 from deep, they did not make it easy at all on the Boston Celtics, causing them to turn over the ball 22 times, leading to 21 points for the Philadelphia 76ers. So once again, just a really good performance by Philadelphia over Boston. This is the last time we'll see them for the regular season. Unless we see them in the postseason, this might be it for them and the Philadelphia 76ers. So let's get to it quickly here in the box score before we start to take our phone calls, 610-632-0975. Embiid again, 35 points in his second game back from the injury, the bone bruise in his knee. And he was tremendous, 9 of 19 from the floor, 1 of 5 from deep. So if you look at that and you take away those 5 threes, just take away the 1 make and take away the 5 overall, the shots that he took from there, he's 8 of 14 from the field. So he's efficient once again and dominating where he is drawing the fouls on their big men. In the pregame coverage that we had today, I talked about how Robert Williams in their last game, a 30-point victory over the Charlotte Hornets, despite the fact that he picked up 5 personal fouls and with no Tristan Thompson, and yes, they had Mo Wagner, Luke Kornet as well, there was no way that they could compete tonight if Robert Williams did not stay out of foul trouble. He couldn't man up on him one-on-one. He's too small. He's a fantastic weak side defender, shot blocker to come over from the weak side and help clean up a mess when need be. But this is not a situation where you clean up a mess. This is your primary assignment. They needed him to be available on the floor. He was not. He fouled out in 13 minutes and 56 seconds with only 4 points. Yes, he did grab 9 boards, 1 block shot. He had 3 turnovers. He was never in sync, never in the game. And that's what Joel Embiid will do to an opposing center, an opposing big man. And he did that to the shorthanded front court of the Boston Celtics, getting Robert Williams in that foul trouble. Luke Kornet was no answer. Same for Mo Wagner, Semi Ojeleye, Taco Fall got 9 minutes and 18 seconds. Grant Williams, they tried to throw as many as possible at Embiid, the double teams. He handled those very well. While he did have 4 turnovers, he got cute on 2 of them where he tried to split things and he dribbled himself into the baseline and got himself trapped. it got cute, right? Because they were having, things were in hand. He was playing fantastically, and he decided, well, I can do anything, and it was just a foolish turnover. But that was pretty much it. He was great tonight in his return, again, in this matchup with only six boards, one block shot, no steals, the four turnovers. This was a really good win for the 76ers, a really good performance from your best player, and you know what the team looks like when he is out on the floor. Great comeback for him. Now they start this four-game road trip feeling good about themselves as they have a few days off, heading now to New Orleans to take on the Pelicans, Zion Williamson, and, of course, Brandon Ingram for that squad. And the Pelicans tonight did fall to the Atlanta Hawks, 123-107 in that matchup. So they, I don't know what their schedule is, the Pelicans, so I'm not sure how many more. He had 34, Zion Williamson, by the way. He had 34 points. And Brandon Ingram did not play in this one. So that is part of the reason why they were handled the way that they were. But the Pelicans do have the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow. I'm sure they'll have Thursday off before they host the Philadelphia 76ers. So with this win, the Sixers are now back in first place, a half a game up on the Brooklyn Nets. So a strong performance, a much needed win. And this is now how you started off with 21 games, 22 left. Now 21, you get the victory, and you take them as they come to you, and you knock these guys down each and every time as you try to, again, lock in that number one seed in the Eastern Conference. So look, we'll take your phone calls until midnight, 610-632-0975. Once again, Devon Givens with you here until midnight. Tyler Zuli is producing the show. Thanks to Dylan McKinnon for the work that he did this evening and helping us out. And hey, Dill, we got it from here as we go until midnight as the Sixers pick up the victory, 106-96. We have to step away for a second. We'll come right back. We'll take your phone calls. Pat, I know you're there. I want to get you in. We'll also dive into the Phillies. The Flyers also in action tonight, but we do want to focus a lot of the attention tonight on the 76ers and their 106-96 victory. And while it was a 10-point victory, it wasn't even that close after the second quarter. After they did their work, 59-46 at the half, they never looked back, up 15 after three, winning this one by 10 again, 106-96. All right, 610-632-0975. We'll talk about all the key contributors to tonight's game. Look into the box score a little deeper. Talk to Tyler Zuli about the win. Get the leftovers at 11:45 and your phone calls, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until midnight. We're in the post following Sixers basketball. A win right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, 11 o'clock right here in the post. 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens hanging out with you. Tyler Zuli producing the show. Sixers, 35th victory of the 2021 campaign. And they are back in front in the Eastern Conference with a 35-16 record right now, 21 games remaining in this campaign. And how will they close things out? Well, they got off to a pretty good start tonight, knocking down the Boston Celtics, their third and final meeting of the season. And now they look ahead to taking on the New Orleans Pelicans on Friday right here, 8:30 tip. Is it 8:30 on Friday? I think it's, what is it? 8 o'clock tip. My apologies. Right here on Friday night, 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, 610-632-0975. We have plenty more to get into inside the box score of the 76ers victory this evening, both on the Sixers side as well as Boston's side. So we'll jump into that. But let's get a phone call in. Pat has been waiting for a while. Then we get to some other calls as well. Leftovers at 11:45 with Tyler Zuli. 610-632-0975. Let's check in with Pat in Sicklerville, tipping us off here in the post right here on the Fanatic. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Devon, how's it going?
It's going well, man. A nice victory tonight. You know, 21 games left in the season. None of these games are meaningless now. So they're very important, not only for right now in the standings, but also figuring out rotations and familiarity on the floor with your teammates as we get ready for the stretch run.
Right, I totally agree, but I think you're missing. I think you're missing something.
It's nice
to beat the Celtics. Ain't it nice to beat the Celtics?
Oh, I always love beating the Celtics.
They got our number a little bit, do they not?
They had their number in the playoffs, yes, which is most important. Yeah, regular season, the Sixers have been beating them handily, and not handily, but I think it was six of their last seven in the regular season, which is why a lot of people, Pat, felt comfortable going into the postseason these last couple of times they played them, because they have played so well in the regular season. But where it counts most, the Celtics have the Sixers number, you're right.
Right, and I know, and it's frustrating for most, and then it goes back to the Brad Stevens thing, where I'm sure most Sixers fans would say Brad Stevens is money, but the Celtics, they're really scuffling this year. Could he get axed? Could he get fired off this season? What would you say about that?
Well, Brad Stevens, I'm still a fan of his work. I know people, oh, Golden Boy, you know, why do you like him so much? He's not that great. What's wrong? Look, sometimes it happens. We've seen other coaches that have been fantastic struggle with their team. I don't think they have the right team. I think they're missing someone. I think not someone. They are missing Gordon Hayward. With what Gordon Hayward brings to the table, what he is now doing in Charlotte, and he is now since 2.5 years removed from that injury, he is really starting to get back into who he was supposed to be, which is a scorer and facilitator, to take some of that pressure off of Brown and Tatum and Walker, for that matter. And they're missing that type of skill set. They had it right in their own building, in their locker room, and he is now gone. So I don't think that's his fault. That's a Danny Ainge thing. Now, they might say, why couldn't you get it to work on the floor as the coach? But I think it was more of an Ainge thing with the other things surrounding the team as to why it's not working. So Ainge has said he's safe. I don't trust Danny Ainge, so anything could happen. But if he is out, I think he would be snatched up fast, Pat.
I agree. I totally agree. And I just want to try to sneak in a Phillies point.
Sure.
I know this is a Sixer show, but I'm saying I'm going to just hang up and listen to your answer. Do you buy that Brad Stevens is on the hot seat? And then my other point is, it's blatantly obvious that Odubel Herrera is a superior outfielder to Roman Quinn. And how soon will we expect Odubel to overtake him? But I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you very much.
You got it, man. Thank you, Pat, for checking in with us and starting things off. Yeah, we know they're going to need center field help. It was one of the things that we talked about at the end of the day. While we like what the lineup looks like, of course you feel good with Alec Bohm at third. Segura so far looks solid, right? Didi back at short. And, you just feel good overall about what they're doing at this time. But when it comes down to it, you're going to need someone out there in center field, because the Hazley and Quinn tandem, that's not going to get it done. And you're going to probably need one more pitcher in the bullpen, maybe, depending on who you are at the end. And you might need another starter to go, in that 4-5 spot to push those other guys back. So that's what I would lean. That's what I would say at this time, Pat, that they're going to need some center field help, because, he is the best Odubel Herrera center fielder, but you know why he's not with the team. They did what they could. They tried to make it about a baseball decision and not make it look so obvious, of course, even though you could, it was what it was. No one would be surprised if you made a move and letting him go from the team, and then he has to go elsewhere and find work. So I think, yes, he is the best, Pat, but they're going to ultimately figure out a way to get another center fielder, and it will not be Odubel Herrera, because they don't want that PR nightmare in the regular season. It's one thing to have it going through spring training and all of that, but as far as it goes the other way, I think that's where I'm going. Tyler, we'll bring you in on that one. As you know, the way you love baseball and you see how things happen, am I wrong thinking what they're going to, if they stay in the mix the way that they are right now, don't look good tonight starting off 5-0, but they're down big to the Mets at this point. I haven't seen if it was a final yet, but okay, so it is a loss finally. Okay, so they lose the game tonight to the Mets. Stroman on the mound for the Mets. It was 8-3 when I at final was the 8-3. Bullpen help, one more potentially, another starter, and definitely center field help later on down the line. Good evening.
Good evening, Devon. Yeah, I think when you're looking at the bullpen, it obviously it's marketed. It's a substantial improvement over what it was a season ago. I saw a list of all of the guys that pitched in the bullpen last year and where they're at now. You know, the guys that are no longer on the team, you know, not Hector Neris or whomever, but the list included, I think, 8 names, and 6 of them are now on minor league deals. And the list did not include Brandon Workman. It was Adam Morgan, who's with the Cubs minor league organization. I think they play in Iowa, is where they're, you know, whatever the alternate site. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was Adam Morgan, Reggie McClain, Jose Alvarez was the only one that's on a major league roster, and Cole Irvin was on the list. I think he is, I don't know if he's officially with the A's, but I think he was trying to make the, but my point being is, it was a bunch of guys who are now in the minor leagues, and they were major league pitchers last year. This year, you've got stuff. You clearly have something with Alvarado. Now, you're going to get days because you saw he was dominant in his last outing. You're going to get days where he walks 5 guys. It's going to happen. They knew that bringing him in. Archie Bradley, I think, is a substantial improvement.
Sure.
Hector Neris now, I believe, feels comfortable in the closer's role because he knows he's got guys around him who are also good or at least serviceable bullpen arms.
Mm-hmm.
They're better. They're substantially better. I still think you're right, though, that if it comes down to if they continue to play well, now they're 5 games in.
Mm-hmm.
Take it for what it is.
Right, correct.
But if they continue to play well, I would expect them to add another bullpen.
Sure, right.
Especially from a team that is not playing well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the prime candidate is going to be the NL Central. Because I think at least half of those teams, well, can't say half, there's 5 of them. So at least 2 of those teams are going to be really bad.
Right.
There's a spot right there.
Okay. All right. I mean, I appreciate that. Center field, though, yeah, Odubel Herrera, we know how talented he is. There's no secret there. He was the best one in spring training, but you had to do what you had to do in order to, again, move away from the PR stuff. It was already there, and they felt like they were doing the right thing, keeping him around. But at the end of the day, they knew the direction they were going to go by sending him down. Let him compete, have him out there, make it seem like they're doing whatever they're doing, and giving him an opportunity for baseball reasons. But that actually helped them for baseball reasons. As good as he played, they still said, "Nah, you know what? We need to go in another direction for baseball reasons." Because we allowed them to go through spring training. So, yeah, they're going to have to go out there and get something.
Yeah, they're going to get some outfield help. Yes. I agree with you. And, you know, I think Matt Joyce off the bench is a really nice bat off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him defensively. Like, he's going to get a spot start here and there.
Right.
To, you know, give McCutchen a day off, who, while looks 100%, is still coming back from a major injury. He's going to get days off. Bryce Harper's probably going to play almost every game.
Yeah.
And then whatever the center field situation is, you need to address that. Matt Joyce is a nice piece off the bench. I would expect them to go get somebody who could be an everyday center fielder if they needed them to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the lineup is pretty good. And even in the field with Segura sitting there at second base, Didi at shortstop, they have stuff. And while no one is confusing Bohm for Mike Schmidt, you like the guy. He's a young player.
He's got range.
And he has range.
Yeah, he's got range. He's a large body.
Right, exactly. So you've seen him a few times already snag a few of those line drives that look like they could have been problematic down the third base line. And he's been able to reach up, of course, jump up, snag that thing out of the air and get the out. So they have stuff that you like. And I like where they are. I like where they're going. They lose tonight 8-4. You did get a home run from Didi in the fourth inning off of Stroman. You had Anderson getting the start tonight for the Phillies, where Chase Anderson, 4-5 with Matt Moore and Chase Anderson. You knew it was going to be a toss-up. It's going to go good. It's going to go bad one way or another. How was it going to play out? Well, unfortunately, tonight, not so great. 5 innings pitched. Only gave up 2 runs, and he did give up a home run tonight. Did Chase Anderson, 3 walks, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts in this one, an 8-4 victory for the Mets, who are now 1-1, where the Phillies are now 4-1 on the season. That home run for the Mets, that one went to Dominic Smith of the Mets. That was his only hit. 1 run, 1 home run, 2 RBIs with 2. It was a 2-run home run for him. So that one, it's okay. It's okay. Now you get back to your number one starter in the next game for the Phillies, as they have a 3-game set against the Mets, and the final game will be tomorrow back here in Philadelphia, 4:05. So we'll basically have a post game for you when we get underway at 7:00. We'll have plenty to talk about with the 76ers, obviously, and certainly with the Philadelphia Phillies as well, as they have one more again against the New York Mets. And then they go, where do they go? Right back to Atlanta, yep. for 3 with the Atlanta Braves, and then 3 with the New York Mets as well.
So a long 13-game stretch to start the year.
Long 13-game stretch, no doubt about it. 610-632-0975. How about this? Atlanta, New York. That's how you start the season.
Then I think it might be San Francisco.
St. Louis, then San Francisco.
St. Louis, okay.
Then Colorado, St. Louis again, Mets again.
So after you play 13 consecutive division games, you've got a team that is, in theory, supposed to compete for the NL. So again, it's not a good division, but it should compete for the NL Central.
The Cardinals are the Cardinals.
If you get through that, whether it's 3-3 or 3-4 with Colorado and San Francisco, you've got to win at least 5 of those 6 games, because they are 2 very, very untalented teams.
Yep.
I mean, Colorado was just giving guys away this year. That's how you separate yourself early. After a tough 13-game stretch, you've got to go and win more than a majority of your games against 2 bad teams.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, man, that's good. They're still, despite the loss tonight, 4-1, off to a good start when you're talking about the best team projected to be the best team in the NL East, in the Atlanta Braves, the much improved New York Mets, and one more to go, but through 5 already, you're 4-1, so a solid start for the Phillies on this season thus far. 610-632-0975. Just a quick look before we get into the box score and get Tyler's thoughts on this game tonight. Sixers again back in first place. They're tied with the Brooklyn Nets, 35-16 on the season for both. They are 6-4 in their last 10, while the Brooklyn Nets are 7-3 in their last 10. The Nets take on the New Orleans Pelicans tomorrow. The Milwaukee Bucks currently duking it out with the Golden State Warriors without Giannis Antetokounmpo. 53-50 at the half for the Golden State Warriors. So the Sixers are full 2 games up on the Bucks, but the Bucks could, help things out tonight. Hopefully Golden State can help out as well by taking down the Milwaukee Bucks tonight out there in San Francisco on the West Coast. Tyler, your thoughts on the game? I'm sure you'll mention some of the names that we haven't touched yet. Danny Green, Seth Curry, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, and even the bench unit coming in and helping out. What were your thoughts on this game tonight with their victory, 10-point win over the Boston Celtics?
Yeah, I think it was, despite Boston's record, I know that they're not playing well. I know that we get a lot of calls that say, man, Boston's done, they stink, all of that. They still are a talented group of players. They might not be a cohesive team, and they haven't played well together. They've not meshed clearly, but they're a talented group of players who can cause problems. They've got three guys who can legitimately score, you know, at any given point. And I thought the Sixers did a really good job of, for the most part, of forcing them into contested shots. Obviously, Joel Embiid is a substantial defensive difference maker. And when you have him in the post, basically with no one to contend with him offensively, because Robert Williams fouls out and only plays 14 minutes, Tristan Thompson was unavailable. Luke Kornet was a non-factor when it came to the matchup with Embiid. I thought that the Sixers did a really good job of exploiting their matchups and the Celtics' weaknesses, both offensively and defensively. And it's why they held the Celtics, who can score points, to 96 points tonight.
Great defensive performance.
Yeah, I thought so.
Over individually and team in this one tonight. Very good performance. And this is what we talk about. This is what we want to see going forward, where they continue to step it up like this defensively in these games. And it's it was a nice showing. It was a really nice showing. So let me dive into the box score a little bit. All right, let's go to the box score a little bit. Check in and see what outside of Joel Embiid and the 35 points that we had from him. You know, Danny Green, as much as I have talked about him, others have pointed out how he may be a you know, there's a hole in your starting lineup with both he and Curry out there on the floor. And Danny Green tonight, 6 of 7, 5 of 6 from deep, in 24 minutes and 4 seconds for 17 points in the starting lineup, as, of course, as always, as he has been all season. Really, really good performance from him, specifically where Green got it going in the second quarter. As we talked about the second quarter being the best quarter for the team, 34 of 22, Danny Green, perfect from the field, 4-4 from the floor, 3-for-3 from deep for his 11 points in the second quarter to lead the scoring for the team. Simmons played the entire quarter with the 12 minutes, 4 points, 3 assists, but it was just Danny Green phenomenal. So as much as we talk about him, I know I have, and I said the value is there for a veteran, a champion with the pedigree that he has, winning the amount of championships that, and contributing, not just being there, but contributing with the Spurs, the last two with the Raptors and Lakers, and now with the 76ers. Championships travel with him, and he understands what it takes. So if this is what you're going to get from him, most importantly in the postseason, then there's not much to complain about. Yes, you could still use the help overall with an extra body, you know, and you're going to get that from George Hill. But look, as much as Danny Green takes the heat, man, he stands up to the challenge. And tonight, he was really good for the 76ers, specifically in the second quarter as well. And defensively, playing some good defense overall for the 76ers. No one over 20 points. That was Jason Tatum for the Celtics. And again, individual efforts, of course, but team defense. I wrote down certain ones in my notes where you could see guys shading over, cheating to help out their man as their teammate may have gotten not necessarily beat, but cut off those angles and make it difficult for them to even think about passing the ball. And some of those were when Danny Green was out there and just understanding why he may not be a great individual defender anymore. The fact that he can play that team defense and slide the way he does, really good showing from Danny Green. Really impressed once again with what he's, every time we talk about it, he can drive you crazy, he can do this, he can do that, but man, he just plays well overall on the floor. Tobias Harris, he struggled tonight, 4 of 11 overall, but look, he had some good looks, and these are efficient shots that he's taken out there. Tobias Harris, 4 of 11, no three-point attempts, 2 of 3 from the free throw line, did give you 8 boards, 4 assists, 1 block shot, 2 steals, only 2 turnovers in his 33 minutes and 49 seconds. Look, Tobias Harris is allowed to have an off night, especially when the game slows down the way that it does, where Embiid is taking a bulk of the shots as he should, or the touches. He had 19 field goal attempts, but then the touches, he got to the free throw line 20 times. When you have a game like that, as long as Tobias Harris is not a negative on the defensive end and he gives you a couple of buckets here and there when they need them, I have no problem with the performance. He's allowed a night off from time to time. Curry, 1 of 5 from deep, did not hit his shots. Shooters shoot. They get streaky, both good and bad. Tonight was a bad one for him. Not worried, though. 9 points in 31 minutes and 47 seconds. Simmons, 36 to lead. Actually, he led the entire team, 36 minutes and 25 seconds. 4 of 7, 4 of 8 from the free throw line. You wish you would have made those 4 free throws early. 6 assists, 4 boards, 2 turnovers, 3 steals, 2 personal fouls, 6 assists, as we mentioned, 12 points. Again, the game was slowed down. They only took 73 shots, so I'm not going to pick at what he didn't do tonight, because he did. He was looking aggressively for a shot a couple of times. He had one bad play that I didn't like, where he had Marcus Smart, who's a fantastic defender, posted up on the low block. He already had him pretty deep. He played around too much, got into the middle, and started getting a little weird and took a weird shot because Marcus Smart is so... That's like a 50-50 thing. You have the height advantage and the strength. He has the strength and the smarts and the quick hands to make a great play defensively. You got to pick your spots right. Just go with that little baby hook. Don't expose the basketball. Take that shot. Instead, it was a turnover. I didn't like that particular play, but that was just one isolated moment that I'm talking about. The bench was good enough for them tonight. They protected the basketball with 13 turnovers only. Great team win over the Celtics, 106-96. When we come back, we'll get B on the phones in Plymouth Meeting. Mark is there. Others, we'll get to those. We'll also, in our final segment, 11:45, get to Tyler Zuli. And, of course, the leftovers, 610-632-0975. Phillies lose. Flyers lose. We'll talk about it all in the final segment. Coming up when we get back, Sixers win. 106-96 now, 35-16, tied the top of the Eastern Conference with the Boston, with the Brooklyn Nets, and we'll get to it on the other side. One final segment, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 11:32, 97.5 The Fanatic, final segment for us here as we go in the post, following in a late win, a late start, 7:30, nationally televised game, but always great work by Tom McGinnis, Brian Seltzer on the game call here on the Sixers Radio Network, and Tyler Zuli, fantastic work. Marty Dickerson, fantastic work as always, and the crew will be back together on Friday, Sixers Pelicans, as we are looking at game number 2. Of this four-game road trip for the 76ers. They just get back from the road trip that they were on out west, 6 games, 4 out west, 6 overall with the Knicks and the Cleveland Cavaliers front and back. And, hey, I mean, look, this is the NBA schedule, right? They still have, if I'm not mistaken, I think they still have more home games than road games when you look at the schedule overall. But nevertheless, they get the win. An important win, and it's, hey, they're back in first place. The Brooklyn Nets play tomorrow. The Pelicans are the opponent. Sixers are idle, so we'll see where things go from there. 610-632-0975. We'll get into the Phillies and the Flyers leftovers in 12 minutes. Brian in Plymouth meeting right now in the post on the Fanatic. What's up, B?
Yo, D. Beautiful night.
Beautiful
night. We beat that team.
Beautiful night. Beautiful night. Cannot stand the Boston Celtics. No matter how you do it, shorthand it, whatever.
For sure. We just totally overmatched that team. But I was pulling my hair out in the first quarter.
Same.
And you were just talking about Toby. Like, the beauty of Toby is that he can really exploit matchups, especially with these two tall guys next to him. So he's really able to use his height. But against that team, that those matchups really aren't there, which is fine. Then he's just got to learn that it's not his night, and he's got to, you know, do what he can do. I mean, him in the post versus Marcus Smart, that's never going to work because Marcus Smart is just so strong, and he's got a lower center of gravity. So unless Toby can just kind of get a quick shot over him, like any kind of back down, that's just not going to work.
Nope.
And then, you know, when he had Kemba on the switches, like he's trying to face him up for 20. Like, no. If you got Kemba on you, now try and get a deep touch. don't try to out-finesse Kemba out on the perimeter.
Right.
But no, that's just, like you said, it was mainly a bad game. And
that's okay.
Yeah. I was kind of pulling my hair out, though, with like kind of situational awareness stuff. Like, you know, we're going to get so many more foul calls from that team. But then you know that NBA refs are going to try to even it out. So, like, Danny Green played a great game. He saved our bacon in the first half with those three-pointers. But you know that they're going to call some ticky-tack stuff going the other way. So don't be super aggressive guarding people out 25 feet away from the basket.
Right,
which, you know, and for some guys that you don't care about foul trouble, like Seth Curry, oh, yeah, sure, pick up those fouls. But Danny Green has been getting in foul trouble a little bit.
Right.
And then kind of just, you know, and it is rough too, but, you know, when you got Luke Kornet on the court, we did not exploit that at all. You know, you know that they're going to immediately double. So give it to Embiid. It's not about Embiid finishing every possession that way. It's throw it to Embiid because you know they're going to immediately double.
It's so, the attention.
And now we have the pieces to attack that. But instead we're running Seth Curry off screens for mid-range jumpers and dribbling into his foot. I mean, I know you've noticed this, Devon. Seth Curry is only a great shooter when he's standing still.
Hey, how many times have you heard me say he drives me nuts? His body language, his putting the ball on the floor, it's a turnover waiting to happen when he dribbles more than three times. And
but it's not like he's going off the reservation making these decisions. They're running these plays for him.
I know.
If his last name was Rivers, people would be losing their minds.
I know. And look, this is the thing, right? When people would get on J.J. Redick for a lot of things, and we know J.J. Redick was not a great defender, they used J.J. Redick perfectly. Don't put the ball on the floor. Come off the screens, the pin downs with Joel Embiid, that brush screen right there, all the stuff that they did. Use the same type of things there, and he can put the ball on the floor, as you just talked about, for like two, three dribbles where he doesn't overdo it, and it's a good look, like the floaters that he does. That's a good shot.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, his release isn't quick enough. And there's no, I mean, the great thing about J.J., and it actually kind of, you know, you kind of have to factor it into his defense, is his work rate. Like, he would run like 5 miles a game, which that wears other people out
that
are guarding him, so they're not as good on offense. But,
right.
I mean, Seth wasn't that, you know, he's never going to be that quick. I mean, he's not, by NBA standards, he's not a good athlete.
And by the way, you know my argument with J.J. was always, you didn't bring him here to be an individual defender.
He's a solid team defender. He was fine.
Yeah.
The problem was that he was trending. I mean, he's getting old. So, I mean, he lost a step in the two seasons he was here, so the trend was not good.
Yeah.
Like, that was the only problem with him. And I got no problem with Seth Curry either. I mean, his gravity, that is a total factor as well. It's just, I'm just looking forward, like, when we're playing the Nets or the Bucks, we cannot have wasted possessions.
Nope.
And they have the turnovers seem to be better, but we have these dead end possessions where just like, what are you guys even trying to do here?
Right. Yep.
And they don't turn into turnovers. They just, you know, whatever. But I'm being nitpicky.
No, but you know what? It's good when you're nitpicky when it's a good team because you want them to be, of course, the best team. And when we're nitpicking at things, it's because we want close to perfection as possible, where they execute the right way. And as you said, limit the turnovers, don't waste possessions, and things of that nature. They only shot the ball 73 times tonight, but guess what? The big fella got to the free throw line 20 times. Simmons got there 8 times. Now, he was 50%, which a
I
lot
mean,
of times,
Tony Brothers may have bet his life savings on Joe's
No doubt about it. But guess what? Boston helped him because they had Robert Williams, Luke Kornet, Grant Williams.
They play aggressively, so they're always going to have more free throws. I mean, right. Boston fans talking about that, it's ridiculous. They're so handsy. I mean, and again, if you're undersized, it's just going to happen. But you know, the important thing is... we're going to have to play perfect to beat a Nets team that's firing on all cylinders, because as good as our defense is going to be, that team is going to score a ton of points.
Yeah.
And it's going to be almost like an NFL playoff game where you cannot turn the ball. Like every play is going to be so critical. So I want them to get in that mindset. They still kind of play with their food. You know, they get a nice lead and then they start screwing around a little bit. And then it's just very easy to let a team back in the game.
Yep.
Anyway. Yeah. All right, let's keep on rolling.
You got it, man. Friday, the big fella. Well, the short
that's,
big fella.
That's going to be a very interesting matchup.
Yes, it will. Who is going to defend him? Simmons and Bean?
I mean,
what are they going to do? Because
I think they'll try. I mean, when they're doing the point Zion, I think they'll try to check him with Simmons.
I would. And just send him a little bit of help, make him make a decision. You know, not help to give Simmons help, but to make him pick the ball up when he doesn't want to. And make him.
Yeah, Zion's going to be thrown off because he has not faced a player with Simmons' strength and length.
Right. Yep.
Because they don't exist except for Ben Simmons.
And let's see if Brandon Ingram plays, because he did not.
I mean,
tonight.
You could do it the other way, where he could just wait for the fourth quarter and then throw him on Zion, and Zion's going to be like, "What the heck's going on?"
Right. Absolutely.
Doc's been doing that all year, which is not. I like that strategy too. Just waiting to really clamp down on defense.
We've seen it multiple times with other really good offensive players when he has done that. I agree with you. All right, B. We'll talk, man.
All
thanks.
Night, D.
You got it, man. Yeah. Todd, that's going to be a good matchup. But quickly, Flyers lose tonight. This is not going to be a part of your leftovers. They lose to the Bruins back-to-back. They win last night in overtime. Travis Sanheim with a great goal, one-on-one basically, and in the not open ice, but the defender fell down, and he took advantage of it. 3-2 victory in overtime. They get the 2 points tonight. They lose 4-2. While we were unable to watch it because Sixers were on the Fanatic, and you look at where the Flyers were home against Boston in this particular contest, they got goals. Well, it looks like Marchand got, he was ticked off last night too. And Bergeron had a hat trick. That's that. Voracek with the goal, and Shane Gostisbehere also. Carter Hart was back in net. That was the question if that was going to happen. And that did in fact happen with the Philadelphia Flyers. So. There you go.
Yeah, one thing that that Jason Martita said on the Flyers weekly show yesterday was that the Flyers have put themselves in a point where, you know, when they played the Bruins three times this week, you almost have to go 2-0-1. And they got the one, mm-hmm. but they allowed the Bruins to get the point because of going to OT. You can't lose a game in regulation in this three-game series. I guess they weren't listening to the show.
They were not.
Clearly. Because, this team has continued to bury itself.
Yeah.
With mistakes, with turnovers, with poor defensive play, with poor goaltending play. Much like the Eagles this past season, where it was easy to pick one person, whether it be Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson, Howie Roseman for the roster construction. It's getting very easy to say, all right, Carter Hart has played horribly, or the defense has been horrible. When I think in reality, it's a very similar situation to the Eagles. This is a talented hockey team that is playing bad hockey. Much like the Eagles, I thought had talent on the roster, albeit older talent, they played a poor football schedule. The Flyers are just playing bad hockey with talent on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they can. I know they're only, I think, 4 points back of Boston for the final spot.
It was 44-41 coming
into
tonight,
now.
So now it's five.
So it's five now. They're
is
not
it five.
They're
is
not
it
out
six?
Of it, but
it's
no,
six,
it's
right?
It's two. 2 points for a win.
So 46-41. So it's five.
So it's
all right,
five.
You got it right.
they're not buried by any means, but they're burying themselves.
Yes.
And when you're playing only interdivisional games, you can only gain so much ground at once.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, look, this is their season, right? They can't get on a roll like they really want to. And this is who the Flyers are at this time. So it's just something that when we look at this team, this is what we have to deal with when it comes to the Philadelphia Flyers. A combination, as you just talked about, it's a combination of a lot of things with them. And can they get it together and string together a good run to position themselves and make sure that they're in the postseason the way that they need to be? So this team is not. Last season, you started to feel it. You started to feel it. And they were like, okay, this team is going to be good. And we gave them that same type of respect based on what we saw last season going into the bubble in Toronto, the performance that they had to get to the second round and do what they did. Unfortunately, it just doesn't look like the team isn't enough. And I heard the guys talking about it on the morning show where not even just them in their opinion of AV and losing his gig or anything, but more of at what point do they start to blame the coach? And I'm not putting the blame on him just yet. I'm not, you know. It's only year two. He seemed like he had some things working. I think I'm placing the blame elsewhere, more so with the personnel and how they perform it. It's not playing well. They're not playing well. So that's where the Flyers are. They fall 4-2 tonight against Boston. The Phillies lose 8-4. To the New York Mets. The Sixers is the lone winner of the three local teams, 106-96. And it is 11:45. We haven't done this since last week. It's good to be back, though, with Tyler Zuli as we get ready to run off the leftovers for tonight. What's up, Ty?
All right, so some good news out of San Diego after a little bit of a scare for the Padres earlier this week.
Yes, sir.
Fernando Tatis will hit the 10-day injured list, the 10-day IL, but doctors have said that he does not need surgery after a left shoulder injury has sidelined him. The Padres are hopeful it may only be just a 10-day stint on the IL, but here's what happened. Tatis suffered an injury on a hard swing on Monday, and they're calling it a shoulder subluxation, which is a partial dislocation of the joint. So, under further examination, they called it a slight labrum tear that is consistent with that subluxation, and they said the injury is considered, quote, non-surgical. So the team is hopeful that he can get back quickly. We find out, however, Fernando Tatis obviously had that shoulder problem in spring training earlier in the season as well, but we find out that Tatis has had some shoulder problems, shoulder discomfort, all the way back to his low minor league days since rookie ball, all the way back in his the beginning of his professional baseball career. So the Padres avoid a big scare, but they will be without the services of their $350 million shortstop for the next couple of weeks, I would think.
When we talk about the talent in today's game in baseball, there's so much talent, so much young talent. And as much as you want to see, no matter how much you root for your local teams, you never want to see anybody come up injured and it affect their careers. You know, and of course the season that they're in, especially with it being so soon as we get off to this first week of Major League Baseball. And it's good. That's good news to hear that it's not as serious as once thought. So good for him. Take the time, number one, to get back and then get back out there. That's a good team. A great player, young player in today's game. So good news.
Just 5 days after Roy Williams announced his retirement, the University of North Carolina has hired its next head coach. Assistant coach Hubert Davis will take over the role as head coach of the Tar Heels for the 2021-2022 season. Davis held his introductory press conference today on the Smith Center court bearing the name of his mentor, Roy Williams. He's got some pretty big shoes to fill, but he feels that he is all but ready because of the fact that he is following in the footsteps of his mentor. He was an assistant under Williams for 9 seasons, and his duties included coaching UNC's junior varsity team. That's something that Roy Williams did as an assistant under Dean Smith before he took his first job at Kansas. It'll be the first Davis will be a first-time head coach. But it was Roy Williams who persuaded Davis to leave his career at ESPN. He was a college basketball analyst.
Yep.
But come back to the he brought Davis back to the team in 2012. He's served as one of Williams' top assistants since then and is now the new head coach of the UNC Tar Heels.
So it's pretty cool as he takes over for Dean Smith, a former player, fantastic player for UNC, goes on to the pros, has a really good career in the pros as well. And not only that, Ty, which is also very important, first black coach for University of North Carolina. So Dean Smith, Roy Williams there for so long. So, look, it's never going to happen with those guys there. But he is part of UNC. You know, he's well-respected. He is known. So I think he'll also put together his staff as such to make sure that they can reach some of those players, the talented players. North Carolina is always going to get the five stars, the All-Americans, McDonald's All-Americans and stuff because they are UNC. But it doesn't hurt when you have players like Hubert Davis on the staff, of course, as the head coach, others there, and the fraternity that it is in helping to recruit those next wave of UNC players. So first black coach for University of North Carolina. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool for Hubert Davis.
One final story very quickly. We know that there are most likely going to be quarterbacks selected with the first three picks in the draft, but now there's a possibility it might be the first four because the Atlanta Falcons have said that they are, quote, open to moving out of the number four pick. Back in February, the GM of the Falcons, Terry Fontenot, said that the Falcons always have conversations with teams, but no matter what he does, there will be, quote, good value. Keep an eye out for maybe a team like New England, Chicago, Washington, trading into that fourth overall pick to take on yet another quarterback.
Hey, man, that wouldn't surprise me, especially with what they did with Matt Ryan and the contract and all, restructuring his contract, reworking the whole thing out. Would not surprise me one bit. The other part, Ty, that I didn't get to, and you didn't have a chance to speak about it yesterday either, was the Sam Darnold move to Carolina. So,
yes,
changes a lot of things. Changes a lot of things. By the way, good move by Carolina. That might work out pretty well.
I thought so, too. The computers disagree.
Yeah, that might work out pretty well. So we'll see how that all plays out. But, yeah, Atlanta moving out potentially. This is exactly why, even though you like the move by the Eagles, I know you did, it's exactly why you don't have to rush when these types of things are going on. Let it play out. See where things start to fall. You could do this the day before, the morning of, and really manipulate and take advantage of the team you're working with in that conversation. So we'll see. But thank you, man.
And those are our leftovers.
Those are the leftovers. Guess what? No leftovers for the Sixers because they win by 10 tonight over the Boston Celtics. Great win. We'll talk to you tomorrow starting at 7 after Beers with Bob. Tyler Zuli will be back. I'll be here. Ty, great work. Thank you, Brian Seltzer, Tom McGinnis, Marty Dickerson, all the callers, all the listeners, all the tweeters. Really appreciate it. Don't forget, again, 7 o'clock start for us tomorrow after Beers with Bob. Everybody have a great night. Be safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 7 right here on The Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.